Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, I just gone 8:35 Central African time. I'm really having a beautiful morning with you, and you, and joined by our very own Member of Parliament, the leader of the NFP, and he walks the talk. He's a firebrand. He's our very own Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam, the leader of the NFP also, as I said. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me, Ahmed, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, a beautiful morning in the city of Cape Town. Well, yes, there's a whole lot that's going on. Of course, very disturbing, of course, news, Brother Shafat, coming in about the 8 women that were raped in Krugersdorp, at the mine that were models that were filming. And many of them have been arrested there. I think a great percentage of them foreign nationals. And you have the Minister of Home Affairs, who actually became emotional and broke down when he heard about this. And he also relates a story of when he was a doctor in the hospital and how he had to do surgery on an 8-year-old that was raped at that stage. And only to come out and hear the far mother of the child tell him, you know, this is the man who did it, he's the uncle, but please, he supports us and don't do anything about it. But yes, indeed, very horrifying news coming in there. No doubt about that. Added to that is, of course, the challenges we appear to have in that Phoenix mortuary. The overcrowding, bodies lying all over. They don't even have the basic tools to be able to conduct the post-mortems and things, the autopsies. That's the other problem. The ANC, of course, are saying that they are the weakest at this point in time. But very importantly, some politicians now are once again raising concern that the protest or an Arab Spring is almost imminent. It's going to happen whether we like it or not, you know, in the country. So, yes, these are just some of the news that are actually making headlines. The good news is, of course, petrol is expected to go down by at least around 2 rand a liter. We don't have the specific actually amount currently, but yes, it's estimated to go down by about 2 rand a liter. But I must admit that, you know, people on the ground are raising serious concerns from the retail sector and what it is costing them in terms of food products and things like that. It's becoming unbearable for the people on the ground. The issue of Eskom, of course, is going to cost us over another 1.2 trillion rand, which is what is estimated. And of course, we don't have the money. I think the president has just set the ball rolling to actually come to parliament and request us to give him more money. And I think this is simply means that we're going to be more and more into debt without a plan that really is going to work, other than I think they want to now buy electricity or energy from some of the neighboring countries like in Namibia and Mozambique and things. Yeah, that's generally where we are.
Yeah, but then I'm looking at, Juju. Julius Malema was talking to the BBC, and he said, you know, white people and elite black people could be targeted because he's guaranteeing, you know, in inverted commas, he's guaranteeing an uprising in South Africa. And, you know, as you said now, the Arab Spring now has become a South African Spring. And, you know, who is this? Are those 10,000 American soldiers waiting for this thing to erupt so that they can do their bidding also? What's your thoughts there, Ahmed?
Yes, you know, the reports we're getting are not entirely true that, of course, these people are on a training exercise just in Richards Bay, because I'm told there's a presence in the Western Cape as well and in other provinces. And the department is mum about this, not giving us enough information. Whether this has anything to do with the support that perhaps the president might have requested from his counterparts in the West to bolster the security in the country, taking into consideration that we have a very weak security cluster in the country. That's a great possibility. I don't know anymore whether it's just a training exercise, but more importantly, I think it is perhaps, in anticipation of some levels of protest, knowing that they're leading to this conference. And that's where it is. So that simply tells you, and I think with all the reports that are coming, we must expect, and it might be that they will use the current economic situation, but it could also very well be linked to the conference itself as to who has got the edge and who does not have the edge to try and make South Africa ungovernable. But very importantly, you can see the role and the influence, particularly of the West, in South Africa. And that is what is concerning, that instead of rather limiting our involvement with the West, limiting the loans and things that come from there, because even this Eskom issue currently, if you see, we are also getting money from the World Bank as well. So again, it's putting us more and more into debt. And the difficulty about this is its decisions that the ANC government takes. And I want to say not in consultation with others. In fact, they just come and tell you this is exactly what they are doing. And that's what makes it very difficult. But coming back to the issue of this Arab Spring in South Africa, or we can call it a South African Spring, I don't know. But it, for all intents and purposes, the likelihood is there that you can expect one running to this conference. And it might be a mix of the two. Some of them will be using the economic situation, like I said. And of course, others are also hungry on the ground, and they are beginning, you know, getting irate now with very little or nothing happening in terms of trying to make the environment a little bit more conducive for them to thrive.
Yeah, but they're talking about the spring and all the springs, Arab Spring, South African Spring, the African Spring. What about spring rolls, Ahmed? Are you a fan of spring rolls?
Yes, indeed. I have them quite often. Actually, coincidentally, you know, my aunt, she's Malay, and she wanted some of them, but with the pata in it. And so I brought some from Durban to Cape Town for her. It's not something that you find in the Western Cape. And spring rolls are quite interesting. I have them occasionally, traveling extensively. So these are delicacies. You just put in your have in your freezer, and when you're ready, you just take it out, of course, and enjoy it.
Hey, Ahmed, you know what? Hey, you're a wholesome man. I mean, there's it with the pata. I tried the spring rolls with the pata. It's absolutely divine. By the way, Ahmed, you know, Gora Manjra, the famous Manjra, he sent me some Methi Park. And he says, you know, Shafat, have it with a small piece, put it in hot milk and drink it. It's good for your joint pains. When last did you have Methi Park, Ahmed?
Must be a very long time ago. Long as that I cannot even remember, I must be honest. Yeah. You are very fortunate. You are being well taken care of.
Alhamdulillah, with your du'as, Ahmed. Hey, I tell you, they say, you know, Shafat got the right contact. He got Ahmed, he's got Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. He's got that Ahmed Parak, these guys. But I tell you, people, I'll tell you something live on air. When there was an issue, I just had to pick up the phone and say, Ahmed, there's an issue. He solved it within 3 minutes. This is Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Now, I'm looking at this article. It says, a poster about the legacy of apartheid in the one military hospital in Pretoria has raised the of Freedom Front Plus with the party leader Peter Kroonewald saying it incites violence in South Africa. This is what he's saying. Educating people about the horrors of apartheid incites violence. That is what the Freedom Front Plus leader Peter Kroonewald is saying. Perhaps, Ahmed, you know, to see those posters and what was done by the apartheid thing and being put out into public, especially at this sensitive time, would you agree with Peter Kroonewald's reaction that he's inciting violence, Ahmed?
No, you know, there is two ways of looking at this. You cannot wipe out the history books. It's very easy for Kroonewald to say, take them off and things like that. And do what? It suits him because of the atrocities that were committed against our people. And there is no reason why, you know, why then does he still want you to have the statue of Botha and others put up there? Why don't he say take them out as well? Because that also reminds you of the human rights violations in any event. So we need to be consistent as far as this is concerned. And it lacks consistency as far as I'm concerned. I think people need to know the history. They need to know where we come from. And also it's a learning exercise so that it never ever happens in South Africa or in anywhere else in the world. He needs to understand by looking at that what the people in Palestine are going through at the moment, which him and his party supports the atrocities against the Palestinians in any event. Okay, so let us not forget that what you have done must be a memory to other people. People must be able to see this and say, you know, this is exactly what we have gone through. And it should be something to us ordinary South Africans as well. This is what we went through. Instead of now creating a better society, where are we heading to? So that it will also get a message out to us, the sacrifices that some of our people made for us to be where we are today.
See, but then we have people like the populist groups in this country, the populist parties, EFF and ATM and all these, Black Land First, calling for Indians, yes, you must go back from where you came from, making people of this country feel as if, you know, you're not part of the country. The Indians were born here, some of them gave their life for this country. That is not spoken of, but this rhetoric of, you know, targeting Indians, because that's the softest target you can go for. Ahmed, your thoughts?
Well, maybe we should be now getting louder than ever and telling them, can you people go back where you came from? Because like you came here, we too came here, we all came here. So don't talk about us coming here, because you came here and found the Khoi and San nation here when you came here. So you got no more rights than we have. So maybe it's time we started, you know, singing that song and letting them understand that we are all immigrants in this country. Okay, and if we are all immigrants in this country, no one has more rights than the other. So nobody has this right to believe that they're entitled to this over and above anybody else. That's the message I think we need to start getting across to them. And maybe I will start that ball rolling in Parliament when we go back. I have said that before, time and time again, that if there's anybody entitled to anything in this country, it's the Khoi and San nation, the first indigenous people. So if anybody else talks about going, having more rights than anybody else other than the Khoi and San, they need to be told that we are all equal, we all came here, we are all immigrants. And of course, I'll help them as far as that is concerned. Rest assured that when we go back to Parliament, it's a statement that will be made loud and clear. But the ideal time, I think, for that will be on the human rights debate that will come up shortly for the Human Rights Day. So let me remind them all.
You know, Ahmed, there was a conversation that Julius Malema was having with Clem Sunter. And a lady who was from the Khoi and San descendant, she stood up and she told him, Mr. Malema, but what are you doing in this country? You know, we are the indigenous people. We are the first people. We, the Khoi and San people, are, you know, the people that can lay claim to this land. Then he said, no, you shouldn't be talking like that. We are from Africa. Africa is one land. We are Africans. I'm not talking that. I'm talking we are Africans. We're not talking about these others. In other words, he's saying Indians are from India. Ahmed, your response to that?
Let me tell you, you know, whether he says he's from Africa, that's how limited in history he knows or whatever it is. It is documented, and there is documentary proof that even in Africa, the first indigenous nation, which is the Khoi and San, they have been, their roots exist long, long before any other nationality at all. So whether you're talking about in Africa or you're talking about, he's correct, even though he's using the term for his own selfish purposes. If you find all these countries, whether you talk about Namibia, whether you talk about Botswana and many of these other countries, the Khoi and San have been there as well. So he cannot claim any more superior status to the Khoi and San for starters. And in any event, we must ask ourselves, what have you done with what you have had that you've been blessed with? What did you take? Where did you take it? But I can say without any doubt, without making this a racial issue, that whites contributed extensively to where Africa is today. Indians contributed extensively to where Africa is today, not just South Africa, many other African countries that you go to. Likewise, many other communities. I can go one step further and say the limited progress that you've had in Africa is because of the doings of the African people of Africa. In a way, you have 44% of the arable land and you can't even provide 13% of the food security in your country. How many of these African countries are stable today? What we need in the world is not an African state or a black state or an Indian state. You need a combination of different nationalities. You should forget about looking at them, whether they're black or white or Indian, but looking at them as human beings. As you know, if you go into the history of the birth of man and woman, then you should always understand that you're all in one extended family in any event. So this thing of using color and gender and things for your selfish means should stop, because that is what is dividing South Africa and the world. And, at some stage, I think, although we call ourselves a rainbow nation, very little or nothing is being done to create that cohesive society. In fact, some politicians are using it, because if you saw the latest statistics, Brother Shafan, that 81% of the population of South Africa is black. Okay. And that is why some of these political parties take advantage of that and want to promote discord between the different racial groups, because they know that the numbers as far as the other racial groups are insignificant for them to achieve what they want. So you tell people what they want to hear and you divide them on race.
Yeah, I don't know if I told you this, but Juju was talking to BBC, and he said that when there's this uprising, the people that will be targeted will be elitist blacks and also those elitist other colors. In other words, he's giving a dire warning. They're coming for your properties. They're coming for what? What they're going to they're going to cause mayhem, and after that, what happens, Ahmad?
Well, it comes back to what has happened before, where communities will have to defend themselves, because you can't expect the law enforcement to defend them. And when you say they'll come to those middle class and people, they're going to come to those who have got. In other words, those who don't have are going to come to try and take away from those who have. But is that the right thing to do? No, it cannot. People who've got what they want to work for it. I mean, if you South Africa is one of the lowest productive nations in terms of man hours or labor in the world, Brother Shepherd. Whose fault is that if people in this country don't want to work? Yes, I do agree that as a country, we're not doing enough to create an environment for people to get jobs and develop. There's no doubt about that. Government is not doing enough. And let me tell you, it won't do enough, because their policies just don't work and they're not willing to listen. But at the same time, you cannot blame some people. It is the middle class which is creating an environment for the average person to have a job already in this country. It is those that are in business and things that are creating job opportunities for people. Now, what are you going to do when you go and destroy them? It means you're going to be left with absolutely nothing. And that is why you saw what happened with the last protest action in July. The number of businesses that have closed and people that have lost their job, it is their own doing that have resulted in that. And if that's the route they want to go, of course, maybe they should start with the 17,500 black millionaires and multimillionaires that you've created and ask them, what have you done with the money that you've made to create a more productive society, create more jobs and things? Or did you go and buy these flashy cars and things like that and forget about us? These are the questions they should be asking. But it's not the fault of ordinary men and women that South Africa is where it is. Where they must take responsibility, they will come out again and again and again and vote for the very same people that are failing them. That's where you come from. So you must take responsibility from that aspect, that you have the power through your vote to be able to get the right kind of people there. In fact, when you do the right thing, there is no place for you in politics. If you do the wrong thing, there is plenty of place. And that goes with the majority of the people who will still go out there and vote for you and put you in power, even though you're failing them year in and year out, you'll continue doing that. And then you'll come back and protest and complain. Now, that's being the highest level of hypocrisy as far as I'm concerned. You have the right to make the change. You don't want to make the change. You put the people in there and you come back. And you're complaining about what they're not doing.
Yeah, my engineer is reminding me that the Quran recitation this morning will be 63 minutes. So we have about 2 minutes okay. to go. Perhaps your parting words this morning, Ahmad?
Well, with all the threats that you're coming, and remember some of these politicians, they thrive on divide and rule and destruction and mayhem and chaos. So when they're telling you, they're probably part and parcel of the preparations for this mayhem that might be coming. So it's simply saying to our people, be on the lookout and be vigilant at all given time. Like I have said, without trying to put any fear into you, you know, if you can, just try to buy a little bit in bulk and keep it, because you don't know when that. Make sure your tanks are full. You don't want a repetition of what happened, and you are at the mercy of some of the service stations, okay? And you're not going to be able to have enough fuel in your vehicle, or you may not have the basic essentials. So just try and stock up with that, you know, so that you don't run out of those basic needs, because that's when the shops will have a problem and things that you don't know where they're going to be. It's very unfortunate, Brother Shafford, that we have to live in fear, not knowing what to expect. And with all these statements that's making, you don't know which of them are part and parcel of the planning for this mayhem that they are we are expecting. So please, my plea to our people is be vigilant where you're going. Watch the news. Some information may leak out if they are planned, and we don't know much about it, so that you could take the necessary precautions. But rest assured, any information that comes, we'll share it with you. But stock up, and so that you don't get caught, you know, without the basic essentials at home, particularly for those who have children, babies, and things. You know, try and just stock up with the essentials.
JazakAllah khair, Ahmad. You have a mashallah blessed day ahead. Talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.